Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
It's Monday and we need to give you a look ahead real quick at what's coming up this week. Joining us is Charlie Herman, business and economics editor for our co-producer WNYC, and Callie Crossley, host of The Callie Crossley Show on WGBH Boston Public Radio. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
First of all, Charlie, why are all the markets down?
Well, take a guess. It could be Europe. It could be China slowing down. It could be the jobs report from last week. I mean, there's so many reasons. I think for this week, the big concern is we're getting into the what we call earnings period, where the companies are going to start reporting their earnings for the second quarter. It kicks off today with Alcoa reporting at the end of the market today when the market closes. And, you know, it's just there's been a lot of warnings by companies that they may not be making as much profits as they did last quarter, or they did compared to last year when they really saw a big bump. So the year-over-year comparison may not look as strong. So that's worrisome. And also, there's just been a lot of disappointing economic news. So there's just now that we've looked at the economy of the U.S., we've looked at the economy of the world, now we're going to see how businesses are reacting. And, you know, it's not looking very good right now.
It may turn out that the first quarter was the best quarter of the year.
Yeah, exactly. And this is the same thing we saw last year. It's the same thing we saw the year before that. It's just now the stakes feel so much higher because we're going into this presidential election.
All right, let's turn to Callie Crossley here. Let's talk about this repeal. Callie, I think we could probably call it like the magic repeal, because in the end you find out it's all smoke and mirrors, right? Is there any chance at all that the GOP-led House could repeal the Affordable Care Act in the House and it would then pass the Senate?
No, there's no chance at all. But that's not the point. The point is by going through this symbolic movement, this symbolic exercise, you get a chance to reframe the arguments now post Supreme Court decision, mainly upholding it, and also to make the point about why you think that Mitt Romney, the presumed Republican nominee, will do a better job of handling health care without Obamacare. I got to say, Celeste, the best line I heard over this past weekend about Obamacare came from Senator Dick Durbin, who said, "Let's be clear, Mitt Romney is Obamacare's daddy." Is that good? That's pretty good. So I think that's part of the situation that Republicans find themselves in, is trying to figure out how to separate that connection that Mitt Romney has with Massachusetts and the plan here, and to put on the table again for many Americans why they strenuously object to the Affordable Care Act.
And I think symbolism is just something you're going to be seeing a lot from legislators and the president. I mean,
he's kidding me.
It's just going to get even worse, I think, in the sense of the president is coming out today to talk about extending the tax cut for just those people making over $250,000.
Less than $250,000.
Less than $250,000. And it's the sense of, is that really going to have a chance of going through in this Congress? You know, probably not, since Republicans want to extend it for everybody.
Yeah.
The Republicans are coming out with their own versions of things that they want to take votes on that won't make their way through the Senate. And now it just sort of feels like a lot of stagecraft versus actually the policy of making policy.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about LIBOR.
LIBOR.
Supposedly, this is not stagecraft. This is a real investigation going forward. And I, first of all, wanted to point something out. A member of the British Bankers Association wrote at our website, to make sure we are all clear that the BBA does not set LIBOR. The LIBOR benchmarks are calculated daily from submissions made to Thomson Reuters, and then they publish the benchmarks daily with submissions from all the individual banks. Just wanted to set that out,
The reason why, I mean, this is a really confusing thing, what LIBOR is, and the reason why you care about it is a lot of mortgages, a lot of credit cards car loans can be based on LIBOR. So if you've heard of like prime rate plus 5%, it's similar to that. It's the LIBOR rate plus a certain percentage. So if the banks are not being accurate in like how much money they are charging one another, that can have an effect on what your loan is. Are you paying too little or are you paying too much? And the big concern here is that if Barclays was actually manipulating this money, and this investigation continues,
or other banks,
and other banks were manipulating it, this is the big worry. One of the people from the Bank of England is actually going to be testifying today.
Yep,
in
that would
England,
be Paul Tucker,
talking about like what exactly happened, what was said. And this is really important because this goes to an underlying faith in the banking system. If they are lying, it just sort of reconfirms our belief that the the banks are just in it for themselves, and that's not going to be good for sort of supporting the financial system.
I'd imagine the next step that we're all looking for is this to, of course, transfer not only to other banks like the Bank of England, but to come here to the U.S.
What was said to the Federal Reserve? What did some of our banks
right.
do?
All right. So, Callie, today some people may try to log on to their computers and find they can't connect to the Internet, right?
The estimate is 45,000 people today are going to find they're just out of luck. There were 4 million people infected by this virus done by some hackers who made $14 million in the process. The FBI has been running a kind of a shadow program in the back to keep people online and urge people to check their computers to find out if, in fact, they were infected. But I got to tell you, I guess I wasn't even focused on it until the last month, so I could have been one of the 45,000 if I hadn't been paying attention. And I don't know. It's not clear what you do, because they pulled the plug. The FBI pulled the plug on their program last night at midnight. If your computer's messed up, I think it's a long, ridiculous, horrible process of trying to come back to connection.
Although they do have specific instructions on how you can do that. We had links at our website, and it's a
but how do you do that? How do you do that if you can't get onto the internet?
I don't know what happens now.
Yeah, you have to go to like the library or a friend's computer and look it up, I'm afraid. Or, you know, most people have iPhones and iPads. Many people do anyway, and I'm sure they can check it one way or another. But you know, if you're also if they listen to the show on the web, they're also out of luck. They won't even get this advice as helpful as it
exactly.
is.
But thanks for sharing.
No problem. Callie Crossley is host of the Callie Crossley Show on WGBH Boston Public Radio. Charlie Herman is business and economics editor for WNYC. The heat wave is broken. You guys have any specific tips on keeping cool?
Stay inside in the air conditioning.
Air conditioning.
That's cheating. That is totally cheating. It's got to be something like taking a bike ride and pedaling really fast.
No.
Thanks, guys. Have a great week.